I want to say good morning to everyone. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord again for allowing us this privilege to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I think this is when we come on the Lord's Day to recharge our batteries, our spiritual batteries, through the Word of God. It gives us the fuel that we'll need for this coming week. Amen? And want to just always put our attention on why we have assembled on this morning, the purpose that we are assembled. We want to know that whenever we assemble, it's twofold. As I've said before, it is a give and take relationship. We assemble to give praise and honor to God. Yeah, I know some people, I've heard people say, well, you know, I thank the Lord for all that He's done in my life. I thank Him for this. I thank Him for that. But I also like to share with people, God has also, through His word, shown how we show thanks for Him. And that is by worshiping Him. Yeah, so we assemble for that purpose, for worshiping Him. That's the give part. We give praise and honor to God. And the takeaway is that we take from the worship service the Word of God that is able to help us in this life. Amen?
Yeah.
And so I like to always begin worship by showing that when they worship, when they assemble the first time after the ascension of Christ, Luke wrote that they continue steadfastly. There are five actions that we ought to participate in. One is the apostles' doctrine. We are going to look at one of the apostles' doctrine that he wrote to a fellow preacher on this morning. He gave him that doctrine to follow with him and to guide him. So we have the apostles' doctrine. Then we have fellowship. Fellowship, that word means to share. What we do is we share with the Lord what the Lord has blessed us with. That's what we call giving. And then the breaking of bread is communing with the Lord. Our hearts want to reflect back on, I thank our brother for leading us this morning and putting our minds back on the fact that Christ suffered.
Yes, He did.
For all of us, for the sins that we had done.
Yes.
God placed those sins on Him and He suffered for us. And so we do that by communing with the Lord. And then we also offer prayer. And then we praise God through singing. We don't praise God with instruments. We praise God, according to Hebrews 13:15, with the fruit of our lips.
There you go.
Yeah, giving praise to Him. That is a sacrifice that we offer to the Lord. And He said, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And I like to say that there are only two conditions I can be in living on this earth from a spiritual standpoint. I'm either in the church or I'm in the world. And if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the church, it's my responsibility to share with you what God has commanded you to do in order to become a Christian according to the Bible. And what you are saved from, you'll be saved from your past sins when you're water baptized. All of your sins, by faith, Christ's blood is in the water that He shed on the cross. And that blood will cleanse you of all your past sins. Then the Lord, notice it's not man, the Lord will add you to the only church you can read about in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
So my hope today is you're here visiting with us this morning. You are our VIPs, very important persons. And we want you to become a member of the Lord's church, having obeyed the Lord, and I will share with you what the Lord has said, specifically what you must do to become a Christian. No one is a Christian until they have obeyed the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right. On this morning, we want to look at the subject, lay hand suddenly on no man.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul told Timothy to keep thyself pure. And if you was here on last week, Paul and 1 Timothy, beginning in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he began talking about relationships. and how we ought to treat one another. So Paul told Timothy, being the preacher, he told him in verse 1 how he is to treat those that are elder men. He said, you treat them like your father. And then when it comes to the younger men, he said, you treat them like they're your brothers. He said, when it comes to elder women, you treat them like you would your mother. And then those younger sisters, he said, you treat them like your sister. And he said, he qualified it. He said, with all purity. Yeah. And then we talked on last Sunday. He then went into talking about widows. And he talked about four types of widows in the text. He talked about one that was a widow indeed. That was one. He talked about a widow, verse number 4, that had children or grandchildren and how they're responsible to take care of her. Then he talked about the widow who was not living faithful to the Lord. And he said that widow, verse 6, she liveth in pleasure. She is dead while she lives. Then he talked about the younger widow. He said, be careful with them, that those that are younger women, you don't put them on the number with those that are 6 and above that's been faithful to the Lord. He said, because when they get in them, they'll go out and marry again. That's why he said, I will therefore that the younger widows, they marry, bear children, and guide the house. Don't put the cart before the horse. Yeah, I'll let that catch up with you. Yeah, let that catch up with you. Yeah, we got to teach our young women. Yeah, marry first.
That's it.
Then bear children.
There you go.
And then guide the house. Yeah, because sometimes we cause ourselves issues. And not that you can't be faithful to the Lord, but it's more challenging when you have more issues on your plate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes we have issues, but I mean, you got to play with the hand you dealt. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, and so on this morning, we're going to pick up at verse 17. Because now Paul begins to talk about the treatment of those that are elders in the church. Yeah. He says, let the elders, now these are elders, men that are appointed elders to oversee the church. Mm-hmm. He said that rule be counted worthy of double honor. Then he said, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So he said they're worthy of double honor. We'll get to that. Yeah. So, these men are to be teachers of the word of God. Those elders, Paul said, that the word labor mean work. In the area of preaching, are worthy of double honor. Then he said, for the scripture saith, he went back to Deuteronomy 25. He said, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that threaded out the corn. So that was, he was giving them a metaphor. He said, when you have an ox and he's threading the corn, you allow him to eat from the corn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he said, and the laborer, that's the worker, that's the preacher. He said, he is worthy of his reward. So he's talking about an elder who is also a preacher. Mm-hmm. This text teaches us that an elder that serves as the preaching of the gospel of Christ is deserving of payment. That's what Paul teaching. Yeah. That's what he said. You have an ox. He's out there working. He out there working. He should be able to eat from where he working. Yeah. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul related to that when he wrote to the church about himself and other preachers. He said, for it is written in the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 25, I think it's verse 4. He said, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that threaded out the corn. Then he asked the question, do God take care for the oxen? Yeah, God does care for the oxen. God cares for the worker. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying.
Yes, he does.
And then he told them, he said, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, meaning the word of God, he said, is it a great thing if we shall reap your cardinal things? So Paul was establishing to them the same thing he told Timothy, if you had an elder that's a preacher. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says in verse 11 that just as God cared for the oxen, what he's saying now, that if we have sown or preached to you the word of God, he said, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things or your material things? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it.
And then he told him in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 9, he said, even so, has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Just like that ox that's out there threading the corn. Don't put a muzzle on his mouth. Allow him to eat from where he's working. And so Paul says here that the one that's preaching the word of God, he should live from that which he's preaching. This is an agreement upon a salary for the work that is rendered or given. That's what the Lord is saying. Yeah. Yeah. Paul said that you are to compensate. Again, he was talking about in 1 Timothy 5, we're going to go back to, he was talking about the elder that's a preacher. He's deserving of payment. And Paul said, even me and other preachers. He said, if we have sown unto you a spiritual thing, he said, I preach the word of God to you. Is it a great thing if we shall receive your cardinal thing? So Paul was talking about, again, in 1 Timothy 5, we're going to get back to it, an elder who's also a preacher. You have in the Lord's church, there are some men that are preachers and they're also elders. If they qualify and they can serve those pastors, they can. Now, regarding Paul himself, I'd just like to share that he said, even so has the Lord ordained that they would preach the gospel, should live with the gospel. Now, concerning Paul himself, I'd like to share this. In Acts chapter 18, notice Paul, the Bible says, Luke wrote, he says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens, and he came into Corinth. Now, Corinth is where he wrote the letter, letting them know that as the preacher of the word of God, you all, I'm deserving of this. This is not charity that you're giving me. I deserve to be compensated for preaching the word of God. But I want you to know something about Paul. The Bible says, in verse number 2, Acts 18, the Bible says, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, who was born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. So he found a married couple, the Bible says. And the reason they had to leave Italy, the Bible says, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. He wanted all the Jews out of Rome. So what happened was Aquila and Priscilla left and they went to Corinth. Paul met them there. The Bible tells us concerning Paul. The Bible says, and because he was of the same craft, in other words, he had a profession that was like they were. He said he aborted with them. He stayed with them and he worked. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. Point I'm making here, just as you can have an elder be a preacher, just as you can have an elder that serves as a preacher. Paul was an apostle who served as a preacher, but he also had a secular job. Yeah. So again, that doesn't mean you're limited in your capacity. Paul, again, when he got to Corinth, he wrote them a letter about being a deserving of compensation as a preacher, but he also, Paul had him a job. Paul was a tent maker by trade. Amen?
Yep.
And so, let's go back to talking about these elders. It's some meat. Paul talked about that, about the elders. So he said, when it comes to an elder, he said, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or witnesses. Paul said, told Timothy, when it comes to an elder, no claim of wrongdoing should be accepted regarding an elder unless there are at least two witnesses giving proven facts. Yeah. You're going to bring an accusation against him? I need some facts and I need more than one person.
There you go.
Because sometimes we as members will start hating on people. Yeah, that can happen. Yeah, they don't like this person. Yeah. And so they'll draw him up something on him. And so what Paul was telling Timothy, when it comes to somebody going to bring an accusation to get out, and he'll say, I'll show you the next verse, reason why. He said, I need facts and I need more than one person. Yeah. Don't bring it up and say, well, you know, I saw him. Who else saw it? I was the only one. Be careful. Remember now, we got to follow what the Word of God say also. Paul said, if you find an elder that you got two or three witnesses and the facts are proven, Paul said, them, and that's an antecedent, the them is the elders in the previous verse, he said, them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. If the occasion, an accusation is proven factual, then this elder is to be corrected before the congregation, church. When we cover up sins in the church, we corrupt the morality of the church and destroy its power to honor God and to save men. Evil must be exposed and purged out of the church through repentance by that individual. This is a warning to everybody. Not just an elder, everybody.
That's right.
Them that sin, rebuke those elders that sin, Paul said, and it's proven. Lord, I'm waiting for the day that we can have those men that will shepherd this congregation. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, we got men. I see men out there that can mature and start serving and doing these things. But Paul said, if you have an elder and that elder sins and it's proven he done wrong, you bring him before the church. Yeah. You may not have to. He may come before the church himself.
Amen.
Yeah. 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 Because see, we got to go and do this thing right, because we're concerned about people. We ain't concerned about just putting nobody on the bus. Turn your Bible to James chapter 5. Give y'all some work this morning. Mm-hmm. James chapter 5 and see. This is the mindset that when we have, you have an elder, and this elder may have done wrong, we all sin. Amen. We all sin. Yeah. And come short of the glory of God. But in James chapter 5, and the verse is number 19, James shares something with us regarding someone. This is the mindset that I want to have when somebody has violated God's will. James said, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and we will, and one converts him, James said, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. So my intent has to be to try to restore that individual. Yeah, that's my mindset. When somebody does wrong, how do I approach that person? Look at, go to Galatians chapter 6. I think that's in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 6. Yeah. Yeah. And this is the mindset of all of us as Christians. Because sometimes we in Christianity, some of us are Christians, we want to throw somebody under the bus. Yeah. Somebody do wrong, we can't wait to tell somebody that that person done wrong and I saw him doing this and I do this here. Well, what about Galatians 6 and 1? Paul said to the Galatian church, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now see, you got to be spiritual first of all. He says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So Paul said, if you find someone that's overtaken in a fault, the word restore, when you trace that word, what Paul was talking about was when a person breaks a bone. And Paul said, you trying to restore that bone. So you can't grab it and yank it. You got to handle it gently. You trying to reset the bone that's broken. Paul said, how do I restore it? In the spirit of meekness. You don't go yelling at a person and talking about what you down. Look what you're doing. Look how you're living. No. You got to have a spirit of meekness. And not only do you have a spirit of meekness, Brother Stroud, but I want you to consider if you were that person. How would you want somebody coming to you? Well, however you want somebody coming to you, that's the way you're supposed to go to somebody. Because Paul said, understand this here, brother, you can also be tempted. You can fall too. Yeah. So when we're talking about that, this is still treatment of one another. It's having the right spirit when people fall down. Because if we're not careful, we'll manifest a spirit that is not pleasing to the Lord. Yeah. My responsibility is to try to restore that person.
That's right.
And then Paul said, I'm going to charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things. And he told him how to do it without preferring one before another. He says, do nothing by partiality. The preacher must discharge their duties without fear, without favor, without partiality. Partiality is when we treat one person or one group better than another one. That's partiality. Yeah. So I'm supposed to share the word of God. Don't fear no man. Don't show no favor, nor show any partiality. However, disciplinary action must be done without prejudice. Yeah. There are times when there needs to be discipline in church. But you do it without showing favor. Now sometimes you let somebody get away. And you know, children are sometimes our best
analysis when they know you let one person get away and you didn't do it to the other one. Yeah, you know why sometimes parents, sometimes we let one get away and don't let the other one. Yeah. Well, you know, now sometimes we grow up, and I know when I was growing up, I would just say, and you see, we see grandparents do this now. I'm see grandparents do this here. I just look at my mother, I said, wait a minute, I would have died right on the spot if I'd done what she done. But now with the grandchildren, oh, she gonna be all right. She gonna be okay. Grandma, you're being partial. Grandma, you're showing favor. And the reason them children are not like you raised us because you ain't treating them the way they were treated. Yeah, children raised today, there's very little discipline in the home. And we wonder why our children are where they are. Yeah. Back then, my mother used to tell us, and she used to tell, sometimes, you know, it hurts you more when she say, go get the belt. You got to get the belt. You got to get the gun that you're going to get shot with. Go give me that belt. Yeah. And I think I probably could have called, I don't know if they had CPS back then. They probably weren't coming in the hood back then. But if I could have called CPS, me myself, let me just share it with you all. People think that they, back then, now I know they don't do that today, because parents, you probably won't even be here in this. But back then, my mother said, go get the stenching. I don't even have to say nothing more. And it wasn't extension, it was stenching.
That's it.
They shortened it, because I want to get on you.
That's it.
Bring me the stenching cord. Yeah. You're not going to go to school and embarrass me. If I have to take off from my job and my money is tight anyway, and they ain't want no overtime and undertime and all that PTO, they ain't had that back then. You either show up to work or you didn't get paid. If I have to not go to work to come and check on you, guess what? And back then, I knew when I was, the Bible said, let me get Bible for this here. Go to 2 Thessalonians. Let me show you in the Bible so y'all will say, well, no, they shouldn't have done that. Well, the Bible says that. I say 2 Thessalonians? I say that 2 Thessalonians. Yeah. Let me get there. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians. Is that what I want? Yeah, that's what I want. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. See how parents did us back then. Now Paul said in verse 14, 2 Thessalonians 3:14, he said, if any man obey not the word by this epistle, he said, note that man and have no company with him that he might be what? Yeah. Sometimes we don't get better until we become ashamed. Yeah. And I know when I was growing up, parents didn't have no problem shaming you. Yeah. That's why you do it. When you don't, Paul was telling you in the text, when you have a man that won't obey the word of this letter, Paul say, note him. Note him. And after you go to him and he won't change, Paul said, don't have no company with him. The purpose for it is for him to see himself. Sometimes when we do wrong, we got to see ourselves. Yeah. And I know back then when I was growing up, they didn't mind shaming you. You would see yourself. And guess what? The behavior may change. Amen? So again, I want to just encourage us, those parents of raising our children, you got to have the word of God. You got to have discipline. You got to have discipline. And too many of our cases, we see why our young kids, there's no discipline there. Yeah. I know my mother, boom, and you just jump out your skin. You didn't have to whip you. Sometimes she just tell you she's going to whip you, you start crying. But I had a mother, I had a mother, I used to try to just start crying before. My brothers, they wouldn't cry.
I'm going to cry before and after. Yeah, you ain't got to worry about that. Yeah, I'm going to cry beforehand. I'm going to let her know. Mama don't kill me, don't kill me. My mama do right. No, no, no. Come here. Come here. Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah. Yeah. But the purpose of it, again, was to bring about right behavior. Amen? Yeah, let me show that in the Bible so we'll see that that's in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm about to finish this text. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to finish this text here. Yeah. In Hebrews 12, the Hebrew writer said in verse number 11, know what he said. And this is why we discipline. He said, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. He said, but grievous. When you discipline somebody, it's not supposed to make them feel good. He said, nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of unto them, which are, the word exercise means train their body. When you discipline them, the purpose of discipline is to bring about right behavior. Yeah. That's why we discipline parents. That's why we discipline. To bring about right behavior. Amen? Let's get back to our text. So Paul said, we don't show partiality. And the reason we don't show favoritism, in Acts 10:34, Peter said this. He opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person. So Paul was telling Timothy, you can't be a respecter of person. You can't prefer one person over another. You can't do stuff by partiality. Why? Because God don't show no partiality. God is not a respecter of person. What is God a respecter of? But in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteous is accepted with God. So we got to do right. We got to do right. God is not a respecter of person. But Paul Peter said, but when you have a case where a person respects God and do what's right, God accepts him. And then he said, my title this morning. He said, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other man's sin. He said, keep yourself pure. What were you saying, Paul? Do not accept an accusation, the word suddenly means rashly, against someone who is considered to be faithful. So you have somebody bring an accusation against a person and you know that person to be a faithful Christian. Paul said, don't grab that stuff hastily. He said, now be careful because you don't want to be a partaker of another man's sin. This person brought an accusation against an elder and you don't have no proof. He said, don't put your hands on that stuff, man. He said, keep thyself pure. In other words, he was telling Timothy that you make sure that you stay free. That's what the word pure means. Free from things where people just want to accuse somebody. You know, you got a faithful brother and he's faithful. Someone come up and bring an accusation. Paul was telling Timothy, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Yeah, where's the proof?
There you go.
Don't mess around, Brother Strider. You done got yourself caught up in some stuff. Somebody brought you some stuff. They done told you some stuff. And you done went and ran and chasing after it. Next thing you know, you're not pure. And I'm saying this to members, too. Be careful when people come run bringing you stuff. They want to tell you stuff about somebody else. My first question to be to that person that you that's coming to you with that stuff, have you told them?
There you go.
That's how you stop stuff. Yeah. Man, you know, and I saw so-and-so, and I saw so-and-so. That's what, I appreciate that, bro. But hey, hold on, time out.
have you talked to them? Because we studied in worship Sunday that he that converted a sinner has saved him from a multitude of sin. Go back to that brother. Go back to that sister. And let them know what they've done. Yeah. Don't come reporting on nobody. You know, people like to report to the minister. Preacher, I saw this here. You saw it? What'd you do with it? Well, I'm coming to you. No, you're not coming to me.
There you go.
I'm sending you to them.
There you go.
So I'm letting the church know. Now, the Bible teaches us, Matthew 18, you go to that person and he won't listen to you. He won't listen to you. How you deal with it? Go to Matthew 18. I don't like to say stuff and don't read. Matthew 18. So we'll know the proper steps to do stuff when we do stuff. Because we, you know, sometimes we say, well, I want to be a Christian. Well, if you want to be a Christian, behave like a Christian. You got to act like a Christian. Yeah. Matthew 18, verse 15. Matthew 18, 15. Jesus said this. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, notice what Paul said, Jesus said, thou hast gained thy brother. However, but if he would not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And he won't listen to them. And if he shall neglect to hear, when you brought him before two or three witnesses, you establish every word, the person won't hear you. The Bible said you tell it to the church. And then if he neglect to hear the church, the Bible said, let him be unto thee as a heathen man or a publican. See, we got to deal with things the way the Bible says.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying this to all of us. We all need this. Yeah. When someone wrong you, go to that person. In love.
There you go.
In love.
There you go.
Tell him his fault or her fault. If the person listened to you, sister, I apologize. I apologize. That's it.
That's it.
Don't touch no stuff because people bring you stuff. Because you can become a partaker of another man's sin. He told Timothy, keep yourself right. And then he told him, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. The physical health of a person is very important. We talked about that when we dealt with 1 Timothy 4, when we dealt with, it's important for those of us as Christians. We talked about that when, what the Bible says, bodily exercise, is profitable. So we should, I'm saying to all of us, take care. Paul was telling him about taking care of his health. So we should, we talked about then, we talked about exercising. We talked about getting proper sleep. We talked about eating healthy. That's important. Your health, your physical health is important.
Yes.
Paul told him, I'm saying to you, don't drink no more water. Don't drink no water. I want you to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy to use a little wine for medical reasons or his illness. There is no other purpose given in the text. Yeah. See, well, he talked about wine. He did. He talked about that. He did. But what was the reason? What was the purpose? The purpose was for medical. He had a stomach ailment, evidently. And then he also had, he said, other infirmities. And so he told him, don't drink water anymore. Yeah. Yeah. Take this as medicine to help you with your often infirmities. Amen?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me say that because people looking. I see what they got wine in the bottle. Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now you go get you some Pepto Bismol.
There you go.
You go get you some NyQuil.
There you go.
Yeah. My wife, the other day, my wife had to go. I said, "Babe, you got to get me some. This phlegm is bothering me." And I said, "Ma, you got to go get that old stuff."
Oh, shit.
Yeah. She came back. She had some Robitussin with elderberry. Yes. Yeah, you take me. I'm the same thing here. Yeah. She got, "Babe, I need to get some of this phlegm, and I need to get it to break up." And Robitussin, had that word start with the Grafilson, your medical people. You know how to pronounce that word, Robitussin. Yeah. But what it does, it breaks up that phlegm you got and allowed it to come up. So I said, "Mom, go to the store." She came back with two bottles. We've been killing it too. Yeah. She said this morning, "Babe, where the rope? Babe, it's right here. Right here. Get you some." Yeah. But that was for medical reasons. Amen? Yeah. Let's finish up. Two more verses. Paul said, "Some man's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment. And some men, they follow afterwards." Paul was saying the word "open beforehand" means some person's sins, you can see them.
Mm-hmm.
They're visible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as I said, when the wrong is known, discipline is necessary. However, sometimes wrongs are kept secret from men. But they're going to see you at the judgment. Yeah. You may get by, but you're not going to get away. And that's what all of us. We just look at ourselves. Paul was telling him as he closed, he said, "Understand this here, man. Some men, you see the wrong they're doing. When you see it, you have a responsibility to correct it. But now understand this here. There are going to be some sins that are going to follow people into the judgment because they didn't correct it. And I'm saying to all of us, if I know I got something, I need to correct it.
That's right.
Don't let it follow me. Put it in front of you and not behind you." And then he closed by saying, last verse, he said, "Likewise, when it comes to sin," he said, "good works the same thing." He said, "Likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise." Sometimes people do good for others, do good things, and you can see the good they do. Then he said that sometimes you don't know the good they do. But I want to close with this and encourage all of us. In Acts chapter 9, the Bible says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by the interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did." The word "alms" means giving. These mean works. So she had works of giving. She was full of good works.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to encourage all of us, we need to be full of good works toward other people.
Amen.
Yeah. And then the Bible says about her, "Now there was a Joppa, a certain..." I'm sorry. That's the verse I want. Where am I at? Okay. Go to verse 39. I think I didn't, that's a typo on myself. Go to verse, now, Acts 9:39. That's the last verse. That's on me. That's on me. 9:39. It talks about her, what she did and what people did when she died. Let me see, make sure I got that right. Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay. In Acts 9:39, the Bible says, "Then Peter arose and went to them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows," remember we talked about widows last week, "all the widows stood by him weeping," they was crying, "and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And so what I'm saying to all of us, we need to be more like Dorcas in that we have good works. Notice when she had died, they brought all the things that she had done. Evidently, she was able to make coats and garments for people, and that was her deed. So I'm saying to all of us, whatever good deed we can do, we want to do it for the Lord. Yeah, we want to do it for the Lord. And so we find here, as Paul closed on chapter 5, that our good deeds should be one that others can see. And then there's sometimes we can also do good deeds. The Bible says, Jesus said, don't let your left hand or the right hand know what your left hand do. Sometimes we do things and we don't do it to publicize it. Amen? You do it because God has blessed you with the ability and the resources to help people. You want to just help people. I want to just help people because I can. And so again, as Paul said, when it comes to, he's talking about elders here in the text, that we don't lay hands on something somebody brought against them until we have proven facts. And if you have facts with people, then you have to deal with it. Amen? And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, yeah, we want you, I said before, we want you to become a Christian. How does one become a Christian? The Bible teaches. I'm saying it, and the reason I'm using 1 Timothy 2 and 6 because I'm staying within the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. So why not use the text, the letter, to find how a person be saved? The Bible says concerning Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What are you saying, Brother Stroud? Well, the Bible defines the word ransom as something paid for the release of someone from captivity. All of us have sinned, Romans 3:23, and come short of the glory of God. All of us was held captive by Satan, the devil. All of us, because we have sinned. What Jesus did, he made a payment for the sins that all of us had done. And it says, Christ gave up his life. He died on the cross in an atonement for our sin. And it holds good for those that are obedient to the conditions stated in the Bible. So now, the only way, I was talking to the person last night, the only way Christ dying on the cross can benefit you, you got to obey what the Lord has asked you to do. What he asked me to do? Well, Jesus said this. Jesus said in Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So to become a Christian, you got to hear the word of God. That's the first thing. Secondly, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. So you got to believe that God the Father sent God the Son down here on earth to die for your sin. You have to believe that. Right. If you don't believe that, you can't be saved. Okay, so Brother Stroud, I got to hear the word of God. I got to believe it. What else I got to do? Then you got to repent. Jesus said this, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall always, all likewise perish. The word perish means to be lost. You cannot go to heaven unless you repent. Repentance means it begins with me turning toward God and the word of God. I got to repent. Okay? So now I got to hear the word of God. I got to believe what I hear. Then I got to repent. Repentance starts in my mind. Okay, I repent. What else I got to do? Then Jesus also said this, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. Jesus said, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So I got to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what I confess. If I confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then Christ is going to confess me to his Father. That's what Jesus said. Okay? So I hear the word of God. I believe it. I repent of my sin. I will come down here and I'll make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Anything else I got to do? One final act. The Bible said, Jesus said,
And he said unto him, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is what you got to hear. You got to hear from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 4, three facts. That Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ was buried in a tomb. Jesus Christ rose the third day, never die again. And while he was on that cross, they put nails in his hand, nails in his feet. He was up there for 6 hours suffering on that cross. And while he was on that cross, John 19:34 said they pierced him in the side, out came blood and water. So when Jesus died, there was blood and water.
Yeah.
When you die to sin, there must also be blood and water. So Jesus said, preach the gospel. Tell them that I died for their sins. I was buried. I rose again the third day. Okay, and what else they got to do? And then Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yeah. The only way a person is initially saved from their sins, you got to be water baptized.
That's right.
Yeah. By faith, the blood of Christ is in the water. Colossians 2:12. And I'm in the water. And those same two elements that was there when Jesus died, when they pierced him in the side, in his death, there was blood and water. There's also water. And then by faith, the blood is in the water, because the blood is what cleanses me from all my sin.
That's right.
Yeah. So you here this morning, you're not a Christian. You're not a member too. You haven't done this. And I'm showing it to you in the Bible. Yeah. So all I have to do is believe what I see, what's written in the Bible. Yeah. So the Bible tells us, as I used to earlier, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as we saved. We want you to be saved today from your sin. We want you to be added to the church. So you hear the gospel, you believe it, you repent of your sin, come down, make the confession that Jesus Christ, Son of God, then we'll water baptize you for the remission of your sin, and the Lord will add you to the church. And we define the church as a spiritual body of, notice, baptized believers. They're called out from the world over which Christ rules. Christ is the head of the church. So you leave the world and you come into a church. Like I said, there's only two conditions you can be in. You're either in the world or you're in the church. We want you to become a part of the church. So if you're here today, we want you to be part of the church. And then the church I'm looking for is in the Bible. Paul, when he talked to the Romans, he said, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The church belongs to Christ. He paid for it with his blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. If you're here this morning and you're not a member or you're subject to the invitation, we want to bid you to come as together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his braces? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? The soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?